So did you see this new Maverick? It's like the 300 horsepower, like SV300T. It's like the new Lobo that they came out with.
I saw something about it on Instagram. I actually, when they reintroduced the Maverick and kind of brought it back, I was doing some work for some automotive website that I'd rather not mention, and at the time, so I did, you know, sort of a write up on it. I know they had that version that had that came with like lowering springs, and I think it had like a front lip or something. It had a couple of little bits and pieces on it to kind of like make it, I guess, mini truck style, sort of bringing that style back. People seem to really dig it.
Yeah,
and I guess now they have like a pumped up version, right?
Yeah, from what I was watching it before, it's like a 300 horsepower, 350 foot pounds of torque.
Yeah.
I guess it's the same architecture as the Mustang or something similar, I would say, that we were discussing last week. But I'm really excited because one, 300 horsepower out of a mini truck is great. I know the guys that were modifying S10s and Nissan hard bodies back in the day would kill for something that had 300 horsepower and AC and drove probably like these new vehicles do. So I really think that there's a lot of potential there. I know that the Maverick isn't everybody's cup of tea because it's, you know, it's not a real truck, quote unquote, but I'm excited to see what can come down the pipeline for manufacturers. Like, if the Lobo is successful, are we going to see, or this new version of the Lobo is successful, are we going to see more of that sport truck resurgence? Like, I came up when, you know, the Lightning was, you know, top dog.
And
I remember seeing the Cyclone and the Typhoon, you know, those were cool trucks. And, you know, Chevy had their version. And we're starting to see rumblings of that, I feel like, again.
Do you think, though, it's because of the fact that they see that there's an interest there? Like, especially, I'm sure these manufacturers are looking at what's happening on social media. They're looking at what's happening in the YouTube world. They see people showing an interest in higher horsepower trucks now. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the Cyclone, right? When I was young, it was incredible. That thing was so cool. But it didn't sell at all. Nope. I don't know if anybody knows. That thing was awful. It didn't sell well because at the time it was overpriced. The thing was like 26 grand or something, which, obviously today's standards, that's a steal. But back then it was a ton of money for a pickup truck, right? Especially when you had these cheap Toyotas and Nissans and stuff you can get into. You wanted a performance truck. You kind of had you needed a reason for it. And like with those, I think that it didn't have any towing capacity, right? It wasn't rated because of the fact that it had suspension to support the performance of it.
Yep.
And then I think, if I remember correctly, and I wrote a story on this like years ago, but I believe the for the bed, it was only like 500 pounds is like the limit, which is crazy for a truck, you know?
Yeah, so that, if I remember correctly, you're 100% on the nose with that. Yeah. There was a thing with like load, so you know, funny. Load capacity in the vehicle. And you see that a couple times, because even when you go to the SRT10 Dodge Ram, it doesn't have the same capacity that, say, the 5.7. You know, there's going to be a trade-off somewhere, right? Like, let's be honest, there's always a trade-off.
There's always a trade-off, but there's sort of like a section for every group, right? So you have modern trucks, and I'll use like the Ridgeline. I know they're coming out with a new Ridgeline in the near future, and everyone says it's not a truck. It's not a truck. And I get what they're saying, but not everyone needs a work truck, right? Like, not everyone needs something they're going to tow tons of stuff with, or they're going to be, you know, packing a bunch of stuff into the bed. For a lot of people, the Ridgeline is just like something to throw a bunch of boxes in the back or something that's not very, very heavy, and it gets good gas mileage, and it's, you know, it's utilitarian and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think the Maverick sort of fit that before this pumped up version. It fit that as well because it gives you the bed, so you have more capacity to carry stuff, but it's not going to be, you know, huge heavy stuff. You're not going to be carrying, you know, like extensive machinery and things like that.
No, but
there's a market for it, though, for sure.
There's something definitely to be said that it serves the commercial purpose for like the fleet service, things like that. And obviously this is the stepped up version that we're interested in, but without the sales of those commercial vehicles, you don't have your higher trim levels. Because let's be honest, Ford makes most of their money off of fleet service. You know, let's be honest, the Crown Victoria, F-150, their highest selling platforms are usually, or even down to the Ford Transit, they were always commercial vehicles. Like, that's where they made their bread and butter, and that allowed them to have the Mustang GT and things like that, where you had a very small segment being fed those cars. but you had the business being sustained by the commercial fleet, let's say. So there's two sides to that that I see. One, if you want that F-150 with just the stripped down cab and a V8, you can probably find it on that commercial market. And then,
yeah.
And yeah, it's not going to have all the bells and whistles and trim and all the stuff that the high end $75,000, you know, STX version or whatever has, but it will have the things that you want to be able to have fun with it. And maybe that's enough, or you can, I want it for the best of both worlds. To be honest, I want to be able to go, hey, I need to go pick something up. Let me throw it in the bed. Like this weekend, we want to get a basketball hoop for the swimming pool.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Perfect example of something that right. I don't need a massive truck. I just need something that has the ability to put payload in the back. But
right.
But I like having fun vehicles. So
sure.
Where do I get my cake and to eat it too? And that, you know, and that's the only place I'm finding it is that I can get a used couple years old trade in on a commercial fleet that has the things I want, and it's good enough.
Yeah, what you're describing right now is it sort of parallels the automotive world. I know people are like, what are you talking about trucks for? But, you know, we deal with trucks sometimes too. And it's like with the car world, you can get into a vehicle, for example, like a Civic that has no bells and whistles, right? An older one that's got crank windows and no AC, no power steering, all that kind of stuff. And then build it into whatever you want, right? Like, yeah. Like maybe beyond what an SI or a Type R would be. And I think that mentality is such an American thing of like taking something and then popping it up, making it so much better, more powerful, handle better, look better, personalize, you know, one of a kind, all that kind of stuff. And that same mentality, I think, applies to the truck world. I don't think that's ever been lost. I do think it slowed down considerably because I know that when I first got into cars, Japanese cars, the truck world was still pretty big, the mini truck world. So like, you know, the area that I lived in San Diego, there were mini trucks everywhere, and they had like the dancing beds, and they had, you know, they were all slam. They all had chrome wheels, huge sound systems. And that was just what, you know, what was going on at the time. A lot of those guys transitioned out of that and got into street racing because it blew up at that time. Yep. It was such a big thing. And it's just kind of like, you know, all my friends are doing it, I might as well do it, I think was kind of the mentality. And so a lot of them left that behind, but you see today, it's definitely coming back. And there's a lot of guys and girls that are going back and getting those old Toyotas and doing kind of the same thing with the dancing beds and stuff. It's become a big thing. And there's a lot of the old crews too, like the new forms, all these old crews that were doing it back then. And they're really coming back strong now because it's no different than guys like myself that, you know, kind of live from the 90s and they want to still have that same stuff they had back then, but now they could afford more of it. At a higher level, for sure, they have more income to put toward it, and it's not, you know, going to completely take over your life the way it did back then.
Yeah.
So there's certainly parallels there, you know. And you mentioned the Maverick being hopped up; it's like 300-ish horsepower, nothing like these turbo V8 ones, these big monsters. But it kind of fits that middle ground of like what you would see like a Civic Si, right? It's not a Type R, it's not a base model; it's right in the middle, and it's for the guy or girl that wants more. But maybe they don't want to buy the most expensive thing. So it's just right in the middle. And you get something you can have fun with, you can modify, you can enjoy, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
I mean,
so it makes sense.
And let's be honest, 300 horsepower out of a little tiny pickup truck isn't bad.
Yeah.
Like most people are going to be very happy with that. And worst case scenario, oh my God, you have to put a tune on the thing. Like most people are going to be capped out at that point for their daily driver anyway. Like, no, not everybody's going, you know, into the 500-600 horsepower range, or let alone, like you were saying, you start talking a twin turbo, like a 2025 F-150 with twin turbos on it, that's a no less than 800 horsepower truck. Most people are not going to want to deal with that on a daily basis. Like, they're not.
Right.
Even with
right.
the boost turned down, it's not going to be enjoyable for them. You know, the car is going to ride harder, things like that. The fact that this is turnkey, 300 horsepower, fire it up, and it gets four-cylinder fuel economy most of the time, that's nothing to shake a stick at. Like, that's decent. You know, and right now, where cars and trucks are extremely expensive, This is something that is a doable compromise, I feel like, for most people, where you're going to be able to have a bed on the back of the truck where you can use that little bed and be able to get around with what you need. And the car can still be fun to drive. And also you get the ability to not struggle as much in inclement weather. You know, it has good ground clearance, things like that, versus where if you just go out and get a sedan, you're not getting any of those benefits. And yeah, you might get the performance. Yeah. You might get a 300 horsepower sedan, but then you don't have ground clearance. You don't have the bed. And there's those trade-offs. You know, I feel like this is the closest we've come to a Ute in the United States. I guess that, you know, to bring it full circle, true, I feel like this is getting us into that territory where we're like the Ford Falcon and things like that, where we're getting the utility aspect of it and a little bit of performance. So we're kind of crossing that bridge.
I kind of feel like that's where Hyundai kind of made a mistake with that Santa Cruz, that little 100%. Mini truck thing. Like, if they had put some power into that thing, made like an all-wheel driver. Anyways, we're just kind of chit-chatting. But I'm just saying that I think they missed. There was an opportunity there, I believe, for them to put some, you know, inject some performance into that and have it something special. I see them on the road. I think they're decent looking vehicles. It's just that there's not really much there to really draw me in. I would never buy one. But if it had, you know, if it had some power to it and something you could play with, that'd be a different story. You know, you kind of mentioned the higher horsepower version of these vehicles we're talking about. There's something to be said for somebody being able to drive something like that that looks completely stock on the outside and it's packing a crazy punch, right? So like the Mexican GTR thing that everyone's going crazy over, you know, on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. There's certainly a group of people that are going to want to get something like that. That just it's kind of a sleeper in a sense. If you know what you're looking for, then obviously you know you're in the know, right? But that goes for any vehicle
just
type.
Chopping away with a big tire on the back. Yeah, oh,
right,
it's stock,
right? Yeah. But for those that don't know, and you know, some cocky guy in a BMW, and if you're that type of guy that wants to do the whole stoplight Grand Prix thing,
I mean,
it's kind of hard to beat, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And you see Dodge, they saw this, like their team saw what was going on with Ford, and they're now dropping, you know, a Dodge Ram for every power level all the way up to, you know, a Hellcat powered one. So they're bringing back the V8, they're bringing back, you know, performance oriented trucks. And I'm saying we're getting to that point where if Ford puts a little bit more time, obviously they're doing this with the Maverick. If they do a true proper built Lightning, let's say, and not the EV, but like a real Lightning again.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have the start of something that's that enthusiast truck market again, which would be great. I mean, yeah, it's going to take a couple of years to trickle down to the aftermarket and to see more of it with us, but it would be great to have. I don't see any negatives to it. You know, that's really what, at this point, you know, the biggest drawbacks were fuel economy and things like that back in the day. That's not a problem anymore. Like, we're not, your bad fuel economy out of a pickup truck with a V8 in it isn't bad fuel economy anymore from the factory. You know, you're not dealing with less than 12 miles to the gallon anymore. So direct injection and technology has really improved upon that. And I think we're at the perfect time to have that niche filled, to be able to have a little bit of performance, to have the ability to carry capacity, carry people, and have the not necessarily off-road capability, but not have to deal with the roads and the wear and tear that you get on a regular car.
Yeah, I think you're right about manufacturers sort of taking advantage of it, you know, like with the Raptor and the TRX and things like that, putting out these really high performance versions. And, you know, I can tell you from my experience, I did work for a little bit in the truck world, but more on the diesel side and the social media world. And I've never seen a group of individuals more dedicated to a brand
100%.
than those folks. Oh, and you know, you can, you know, guys that are only in the Toyotas, they're just Toyota fiends, and that's all they like. Or, you know, like with Scott, obviously it's you know, it's Mitsubishi, it's Diamond Star stuff, right? and they're hardcore, but this is different. They take everything so personal, and it's like it's Cummins or
I was gonna
nothing.
say,
It's
you've never heard somebody argue until they're arguing about Cummins power and power strokes.
God, I was new to it at the time. I didn't know that it was so fierce. And the company, it was two different companies I was working with, and they were telling me about it. Like, you gotta understand, like, these guys are cut and dry. There's no blurring the lines. And then when I got into it, I was like, wow, this is way beyond anything I've ever seen before. Because I've always seen like the import versus domestic stuff over the years. And so if you like Mustangs, you're this type of guy. If you like Civics, you're that type of whatever. This is on a different level.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
It's more of a culture. They're like born, bred, tattooed and diet.
Yeah.
It's on their gravestone.
Yeah, literally.
You know, and coming from down south, like, yeah, diesel trucks is a whole different ball game that I can't even speak to enough, but I've watched it from the outside and they are a culture of their own. You know, they'll eat ramen noodles. They'll just starve to have the fastest truck. Like we'll sacrifice to a point. These guys are completely different, dedicated. But that brings me to an interesting point that I did want to touch on is that I'm not saying that we didn't have performance trucks, but I feel like this is the first time we're going to have ones that are more street oriented again. Like the TRX, the Raptor R, those were designed for off-roading. Like they were trophy truck, Baja, and they're fun and they're cool, whatever. But there's something different about a Raptor R and a Mexican GTR. Those are two different monsters.
Agreed.
And because of that, I'm looking forward to the street truck resurgence. That's what I want. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Could you go out and get a Raptor, hop it up, and have a bunch of fun with it? Yes. Do I know people that have fast trucks? 100%, especially when you start talking diesel. They get really fast and terrifyingly so, like freight train fast. But but that being said, I don't necessarily want that. I want a little, bench seat in the front, which probably we're not going to get anymore, but even a small four-seater truck with a bed on the back and some, usable horsepower, and that doesn't handle like a 2500, HD truck. It's going to handle more like a sportier version.
I agree. I believe there's a lot of people that are like you that sort of, I put them in the cassette and crank windows category. As compared to the guys that would want, guys and girls that would want like one of these newer, like the TRX or something that's got all the bells and whistles. Yeah. It's got every,
I don't need all of it.
It probably has like massage chairs and all that stuff. It probably has everything, So there's a lane for everyone, I think. And I believe that manufacturers are picking up on that. They have been for a few years now. Yeah. You see it really starting to expand now. And then, certainly there's people that are just catching on recently and they're going back and buying older trucks because they realize, oh, look, this one has an LS in it. It's pretty inexpensive. There's a million parts on the market. I can go so many different directions with this thing. I can supercharge it. I can turbo it. I can just build around a
all can motor, or, all motor and a bunch of nitrous.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many options. And I think that people are picking up on that now. They're like, look, I can fly under the radar with just a clean, simple truck that's got, quite a bit under the hood. And unless you know what you're looking for or listening for, you're never going to even know I was there.
Yeah,
I'm going to sneak around. So I like it.
Farm truck, construction truck, sleeper build, 100%. Yeah. And that's really cool. And there's something to be said when you were mentioning before, when you pull up next to a Mexican GTR at the stoplight and it literally jumps out that 60 foot and you don't even know how a truck just went from exactly
real. It's crazy.
You blink and it just jumped 100 100 feet out and you're just like, this isn't possible, and coming from somebody who's been in GTRs, they're not the same. A GTR bites in and starts to claw away and drive, and I know they get that slang term, and I just wanted to clarify, like, this is not the same. One of those is literally jumping off the line and the other one claws off the line. So there's a major difference. But that truck, I want one. Like, I'll be honest, I want an F-150 that has a 10-speed four-wheel drive and some form of forced induction, and I will be a happy camper. So
there you have it. I mean, we're really just kind of looking at the parallels between trucks and cars, but I'm pretty sure people out there are going to have some opinions. Yeah. I think we're talking about this a bit late, but internally we've been talking about this for quite a while. I think we've been kind of seeing the signs, you know, the writing's been on the wall for years. And I think now it's just become a lot more evident, right? With the Maverick and vehicles like that, it seems like we're headed that direction. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's something new for a lot of people. And it's something old, right? It's people that maybe were messing around with trucks back in the day. They had a family and they had to buy a home and all that stuff. So maybe they got a sedan or something, and now they're kind of getting back into it. And they're like, man, I've got all these options now. Turbo and LSs and everything else. So let us know below what you think. And yeah,
that's catch all I got, man.
He's out. All right.